Welcome to Loonsville. I am Sid, and Jeff is here with me today. And we just watched Possessor, the uncut version. This is written and directed by, is it Brandon Cronenberg?
Yes. Oh, mic check. Yeah, Brandon Cronenberg. Dude,
So I looked it up,
I don't know if I can say this, but
and
I think Brandon might be a better filmmaker than his dad.
yeah, I was gonna say that actually. This is his second feature.
Yeah.
I went ahead and looked it up. There's a lot of shorts, but this is his second feature movie. The first one is Antiviral, which I watched that like a good while ago. Very good.
He's, I don't know, man. People might have to watch out for this guy.
Right?
He's definitely got some talent.
Oh yeah, he does.
Both writing
This
and
one was
directorial wise, he this movie was this gave me like early 80s vibes on a lot of kind of like the feel of some of the shots and stuff, but at the same time, it just, dude, it was a stellar fucking production, man. They went over the top.
all out. This movie has everything too. Like it has Sean Bean. I mean,
Yeah.
he doesn't die though. I mean, that's
Dude, I kind of felt bad for him not dying, but we'll get
right.
into that. Holy shit.
This movie's fucking brutal.
It's got Andrea Rideboro?
I think so.
Rideboro? I can't remember her last name specifically off the top of my head, but she's a great actress. She's in a few things that I've seen. She was in Mandy. She was Mandy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't
This
like
is
that
way better than
movie.
Mandy.
Yeah, this is leaps above Mandy. But
Everyone in this movie was, acting was
acting was fucking
really
crazy.
good.
Jennifer Jason Leigh was in this movie. She's like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She's in probably more productions, both television, film, and theater than anybody else in this movie, and everybody in this movie that I could name, which we pretty much just named them. They're all in a lot of stuff. They are all wonderful actors and actresses. The
Helps when
cinematography
you
in this
have
movie
you're
was
working with a
fucking good too, man. Everything about this
yeah, it
movie was
was.
great. The set design
Yeah.
was, it was, I don't know, man, the lighting of it was perfect. It was perfect. I hate to say that word, but I'm
It was really
definitely.
good. This is a must buy. Like I have to get this on Blu-ray.
Yeah, this is definitely worthy and worthwhile. This is a hell of a fucking movie, man. Shout out to
It's probably
Brandon
the best
Cronenberg,
movie
dude.
that says 2020 on it.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I would put it up there. This is definitely going in the top five of the year. Absolutely.
Well, it's one of the best ones that have been released this year.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was, man. We should get into it before I start ruining it immediately, because I want to.
Right. So this is shit, I
Fantasy
don't like
sci-fi,
this movie.
right?
Yeah, like it's well, sci-fi horror, very suspenseful. It's the idea is that she's an assassin who...
They implant her consciousness in other people that she uses to assassinate people.
So before she even enters their brain, she's got to start learning how to act like them. And that's a very interesting process. She sits there and watches them and
gets down there and tries to... And yeah, their voices, their tone. The thing is,
but this process is deteriorating her mind. And she kind of forgets who... like, she's going in and out. Like, she acts like people so much that she kind of has to think how she acts.
Yeah, she's got to do the same thing when she leaves a job or a person. She has to do the same thing to get back to herself. She has to relearn her own mannerisms and voice and stuff. It's crazy, but they go through the process quite beautifully.
Yeah, like, as, like, you look at it and you know, like, the idea is a weird fucking story. But it's grounded.
It's really unique how they do it. Because there's movies where they implant consciousness, but they're far fantasy. And this is pretty grounded as far as that kind of concept goes.
Yeah. So she's got to relearn her mannerisms when she goes and see what she's... Every time she comes back to herself, they have this test, which I thought was really, like, really cool how they, I think what they have to do is she tells them what this item meant to her, if it's hers and what it meant to her, and she's got to remember that when she comes back into her own, well, her own body, if you, because it, sometimes it gets jumbled up. So she's got to remember what's not hers, what certain things meant to her, where she got certain items.
They test her with items that are and are not hers to make sure that her consciousness isn't split or fractured, fragmented. They use different terms in the movie, but all in all, they're just pretty much figuring out whether she's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool how they don't rush the details like that, but they don't spend too much time on them either. They do just enough that you understand what they're doing and what they're going for without dragging it on and slowing down the plot of the story. I think everything in this pace-wise was perfect. I'm going to keep saying that word, but it really was. This was flawless. I can't think of anything in this movie that was done poorly. And I love that when that happens. And there's...
I do too.
There's very few this year, but this is going to be one of the ones that I don't have anything bad to say about.
Like, even though we mentioned that he is, like, related to one of the... Like, David Cronenberg's a very famous filmmaker. Almost everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, if you don't, you probably do and don't know it.
Yeah,
Cronenberg he's got his ties either directing, writing, or making cameos in a lot of shit. And he is... I'd have to put him in the top 10 for creative horror minds in the last 30, 40 years.
And I gotta say, like, he's not stuck as Cronenberg's kid. Like, he's overshadowing
his fucking dad right now, dude, by a lot. Like, I love Cronenberg and I love his movies, but I've seen his first two movies. You've seen his first two movies. We watched one of them together. We did a review on Rabbit, which was his second feature, I believe. And if you compare this to that, Like, it's night and day. Like,
well, I mean, if, even if you compare, like, some of his later stuff, I mean, it's, this is, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he picked up a camera and he was like, hey, Dad, let me show you how you're fucking up. You think right? You're great, Cronenberg's my name. You're going to have to change yours. No.
He's now going to be Cronenberg's dad.
Oh, Cronenberg. No, this was a very elegantly done suspense, thriller, horror. I don't know what you would classify this as. I mean, it's definitely a suspense thriller, but it was... Oh, man.
A little bit of everything, actually.
The only thing this movie is not is a comedy. This has no comic tones that would stand out above any of the suspense or anything. It's very dark, but not...
Yeah, it didn't have no comic relief or anything.
Right, not lighting-wise. The lighting in this movie was flawless. It was great. Between scenes, tonally, like, the lighting matches the tone of each scene, which was great for me. I loved it. The only thing I didn't like was, the lighting-wise, was the bedroom when it was all blue. It kind of stuck with me. But... That's only because
it's a bit weird,
right? It just reminds me of when people use color filters improperly. He didn't. Yeah. You can actually see where the light is coming from. They have a blue ring light in the windowsill. And so, I mean, it makes sense. It's not a color filter entirely. It's supposed to be the light in the room, but that's why it struck me weird. I was like, who does that? I was like, I started thinking about when I had rope lights as a teenager. All over my room and shit, and I was like, you know, now they got LED strips, and then I caught myself like spinning wheels on lighting, and I was like, focus, movie, amazing. And I had to spiral myself.
And they even do they even do some things that are done a lot, but they do it very well, like probably better than most movies. Like, you know, when the person has to pretend to be another person and somebody will bump into them and they have to go and figure out like how to interact with this person they've never met.
Yeah. You could tell she'd been down that path before. It was, it was really, well done how they kind of just bit their tongue and held their peace and let the other person speak for them instead of she really didn't say anything. Like, hey, you remember when we did that thing? And they're like, yeah, tell me about it again. It's like, no.
Well, the only time she doesn't is when he's with his soon-to-be wife and she's starting to notice like a little bit of difference.
Yeah, immediately.
But that's something that a lot of movies do, that kind of premise, and not the premise of the movie, but the I gotta pretend to be this guy and interact with these people and make sure I'm not, my cover's not blown.
Man.
And this movie does it extremely well, almost to a point where it's
the new bar for how to do that.
Yes, it was like a fresh way of doing something that's almost been done to death.
Yeah, man. You know, I don't even really want to run through the story on this because I don't want to give that more time than the things that I really want to talk about, which are we've been talking about the acting. The acting is extremely pleasant. I'm going to use a bunch of P words instead of perfect. it was pretty. So one of the things that I really liked about this movie was since we were just talking about witches, and during that, which you can find on, well, either the podcast that you're listening to on Anchor, Apple, or Spotify, or yeah, that's the only one. We didn't do that one for YouTube, right? Right. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can't find that on this channel, but you can find it on the other channel I just mentioned.
I think that was the one right before we started
doing this. In that episode, the only reason I bring that up is because in that episode, we talked a little bit about practical versus CGI. And in this, there, amazingly enough, is both. And they do the body melt, and that's obviously CGI. When they transition and the body is melting and then it's coming back as the other person. Amazingly done. That CGI was fucking impeccable. It was great. Yeah. I mean, because they do actual skin tones. And the lighting on the skin, it wasn't glossy. And you could see all the pores and the hairs. And it was just incredibly done. And they didn't do CGI for any of the other stuff. Those are all practical effects. So they found like the perfect blend of where to use CGI and where not to, versus other things like the only one that comes to mind that I really could mention would be the latest adaptation of The Thing, where they had an amazing VFX team come in and they built all of these molds and physical creatures for the film. And then they ended up having a different team come in and they reshot everything in CGI, which it kind of bothered me on two levels. One, I didn't think it looked as great with CGI. I mean, it doesn't really detract from the movie, I guess. The movie was still good, but the original kind of sets a bar for practical effects as far as a lot of the things in that movie. So to have somebody coming out and doing practical builds for the movie's remake and then not using any of them and redoing everything in CGI, that kind of just rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, that's understandable.
So, I mean, with this movie, they could have, since apparently they had a fucking extremely professional CGI crew, they could have done all of the... We'll talk about each scene, but all of the kill scenes and all of the brutality, it could have all been CGI. And you...
Those are rough, too.
They were so rough. They're so, yeah. When I say this movie is dark, dude, some of those kill scenes were fucking, they were dark and brutal, which is weird, but perfect.
And it was just, this movie also did, so I like to put a warning that it does have some flashing lights, so if you have an issue with flashing lights, know that it happens during the melting together scene, the merging scene.
Yep, and I think one other part also, but I could be wrong.
Well, like the lights.
There's also full frontal nudity. There is flashing images. An excessive manner, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I love it because people shouldn't be such prudes, but.
And they handled the flashing lights like very well too. Like some movies, they'll overdo it to the point where you're like, "Fuck, stop!" This movie did it, and then it stopped
before you could ask. Like them it to knew stop,
how much to do.
You're like, yeah, they knew how much quit.
To
do
to get their point like across.
And they're like, okay,
but it made sense for what they were doing too. It's not like it wasn't like setting a mood or anything. It made sense because images and memories were flashing.
Yeah, he didn't walk into the between house to the do two. Some blow and there was strobe lights going off.
Yeah, so it makes sense. But if those scenes,
if you have epilepsy,
like a sensitivity,
or any other condition yeah. that causes seizures, be warned. You know what? It's funny you should bring that up because there is no warning on the movie to let you know that there's a flashing light scene. So check that out. He just totally did you a solid. I hope you didn't watch this before you watched the movie, but if you did, you're welcome. So
at least just this part.
At this point,
we're gonna spoil too much.
I'm totally gonna spoiler warning you because right about now is when we're gonna just really dive into the plot of the movie and some of the sequences. And go on our little tangents down the Yellow Brick Road about how, you know, everything. About how Michael Bay could learn from this guy.
A lot of filmmakers could learn from this guy.
Yeah, everybody could learn from this. This was... I don't want to clap too loud.
Right. This.
Hold your applause. Seriously. Like, I told you the story that I heard from John Carpenter a couple weeks ago about how he was at a party and he stopped going to parties because he got snobbed by David Cronenberg, who he used to be friends with. Brandon Cronenberg is going to fucking snob his own father at a party after this movie. He is just going to be like, not now. And it's going to be beautiful. And he gets to do it. I would allow it. This movie... It was perfect. I'm going to say it. Flawless. Impeccable.
Both stunning. Of his flicks are pretty good.
Yeah, this was not pretty good. This was uncanny.
Well, have you seen Antiviral?
I feel like I watched that a few months ago, but brain fog. So the name sounds familiar, and I know I watched... It's his only other feature, right? So, yeah, I had to have because I know I watched one of his movies before. And that's the only other one.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any of his shorts. Unless I'm wearing them. No, but I did watch that. I don't really remember any of it. So, it could be as good as this. But I can't see how. I mean, I can't see how anything could be this good.
I want to say
I'm totally fanboying over it right now.
They're both really good movies. I would say that I enjoyed this one more than Antiviral, but I think it's mostly because the story itself kind of is what the type of movie that I like. I like sci-fi horror. I like things that like kind of just fuck with people's brains.
So there's this movie, right?
It's my type of movie.
I can't remember the name right now, which is kind of sad. It's an old Bruce Campbell movie from the 80s where it's a space, it's a sci-fi horror thriller movie, you know. Wish I could think of the movie, the title right now, or anybody else that's in it aside from Bruce Campbell, because there are other people in the movie that are great. But I would like to see David Cronenberg remake that. Or not David Cronenberg, Brandon Cronenberg. Because that movie is good, but it hasn't aged well at all. And I feel like after seeing this, he could do it justice. He definitely could. And on that note, I have to start... getting into the plot of this, not the plot. I just want to go through the sequences. The plot we already covered. We know what's going on. The basis of the story, an assassin jumping into bodies. And so this movie opens with, her name is Gabrielle. I can't remember her last name, the actress, but, it's Gabrielle, Gabrielle Graham. I believe. I hope I'm not fucking wrong on that. I hate when I say the wrong names. But I believe that's the actress's name. She's also in other things. but she's sticking a needle into the top of her skull, and she's using this little dial machine, and she's experiencing multiple emotions, like laughter and tears, and you don't really know why until later they tell you that it's a calibration machine to connect your host personality with your own. And I'm just going to say that right now because I don't want to talk about it later. So she goes through this calibration process, and then she shows up at an event. I'm guessing she worked there. She was a hostess there. She did work there. They say that in the movie. But she walks right up to this dude and just stabs him in the neck, and then she starts stabbing the shit out of him. And like, that's how we start the movie. And right when that was the kickoff, I was like, okay, I am intrigued. I can't imagine this getting any better than this, but have at it. Proceed, you know, if you will. I'm like, let's do this. And yeah, it definitely gets better than that. Like every brutality is escalated in each crime. And
I also like when they, because it's like all the deaths are pretty brutal, but I really enjoyed the one where, when he just wakes up and this dead on the floor, like you don't see like what happened to him. You're just like, it kind of surprised. Like
that one surprised me.
You never know really what's going on. And if you're not seeing a death, you'll probably end up seeing a body on the floor or something. Yeah.
I was kind of surprised that Eddie was dead. I mean, not when I saw him there bloody, I knew that Eddie was dead, but I was surprised that it ended up unfolding like that, because I thought when he, oh man, we're jumping ahead, but we're going to do it because this was another beautiful scene where they used practical and CGI. So it's not a dream sequence, but it's a subconscious sequence. Eddie, the person we were just talking about, is calibrating the host's parasite, for lack of a better word, symbiosis, for Andrea's character. And in the sequence, he starts doing a pulsating thing. He says it's going to be uncomfortable. And with each round of pulse, you see the, I can't remember his name, the actor that played this guy.
Well, he's the one that she took over, though. You see the...
I have his name. Christopher Abbott. I had to look at it. So Christopher Abbott, you see him come through a doorway and then start approaching her body, and then he gets on top of her and straddles her, and he starts choking her, and then he just collapses her face with his thumbs, and then he wears her face. And it's a really physical, visual way for you to put together that he is climbing inside of her and reversing the parasite host relationship. And he starts looking at her life through her mind and looking at her memories and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, as creepy as it is with this chick looking like Leatherface while he's going through her memories, like there's a scene where she's kissing her son goodnight, and they do that one. He's just wearing this mangled version of her face, and then her fucking her husband, and it's him laying there with this mangled face. And I was like, so this is what TCM would look like if Leatherface got some action. That's cool. But it was a really well done sequence. Every sequence in this, man, everybody that had anything to do with this movie was far above on top of their game, I guess, to say the least. Or to say the most, I mean, however you want to put it, they fucking... It was impeccable.
Well, this is after she, well,
and it's after a lot of his shit.
Body.
That's like towards the end of the movie.
she kind of completes the job. Well, you find out later that it's not fully completed.
Yeah, you should just you should talk about the job first, because that's got the job, but just the sequence of him doing the job, or her. It's Chris Abbott.
I don't want to get too much into it.
Well, I mean, if you're going to reference it, you got to say something about it. You don't have to say what happens if you don't want to, but
she's hired for a job, and then once they complete, she's hired
to kill a man that's the head of a business, and the guy that we're talking about works for him, is dating his daughter, blah, blah, blah. Skip ahead. Go.
Well, he's starting to gain control back, which is what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you start from the first step, like from the opening scene, you start noticing how, I think, in order to break the thing, they have the host has to die, I think, right?
Yeah, the host has to die in order for them to pull them out. I don't know if that is for their benefit so that nothing can be said about what they're doing, or if it's required to be able to pull Andrea's character out. I can't remember her name in the movie.
But it's usually planned to be a suicide, so
yeah.
This is the first time you start noticing how she's kind of not in full control, and you're noticing this through like everything that she's doing, because she's supposed to
shoot herself. Well, in the beginning, there's that little part where she put the gun in her mouth and couldn't pull the trigger too. I think she was, her control to that magnitude had been lessening, and I think she was realizing that. That's why she, in the beginning, she does a suicide by cop thing, which was a little weird to me, because they execute her, and I was like, cops don't do that. But then I was like, yeah, they do. So if it worked out, I guess.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you start. That's one of the first parts where you start noticing that she's
not able to do it, and he really,
from the beginning,
he took control, and definitely.
But after you start taking control, which is when he was wearing her face, which is like the creepiest thing, and that's what's on the poster, I think, or the cover, or it's going to be what's on the DVD. It's going to be, I think it's the main poster.
Was that mangled flesh suit face?
Yeah. Which is really cool. And I don't know if this is just coming out like uncut, or if there's going to be a...
I think it's just a cut version? Name US UK. I think it's just called Possessor Uncut here, and it's just known as Possessor in... U.S. Canada. U.S. Canada, it's known as Possessor Uncut. And in the U.K. and everywhere else, I think it was just titled Possessor.
Yeah. From
what I was reading. I don't think there's another cut of this movie.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of curious, because, like, it's edited so, like, great in the uncut.
Yeah, I mean, I
hope the only reason why they would cut it is for rating issues.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it's put together like this on every version, because it shouldn't be seen any other way. The editing is as perfect. I whispered perfect so nobody could hear. It's edited as perfect as it's shot and as it's acted and as it's lit and as the sound is. I mean, there's not one bad level to this movie. Every layer of it is it's perfect.
This is a festival movie, right? Like, this isn't like a theatrical, this is mostly from a
festival circuit, right? It was shot last year in April, I think, Principal started, and then I believe it finished and began touring festivals before, you know, this year happened and COVID became a thing, it might have even made a couple of the festivals that they did this year. But it just released on Amazon for rent and for purchase and stuff like that in the U.S. on the 6th of October, I think, or the 8th of October. I don't know. Early October, the movie just came out for, you know, everybody to see.
Yeah.
But I don't believe this had a typical theatrical release at all. I think this was mainly a festival film and is now available. And man, I would have loved to have been at a festival and seen this.
Yeah, could you imagine seeing this on the big screen?
I can, and I can imagine the audience response too. I don't think a lot of theaters would play this, to be honest.
Well, unless they cut it.
Right.
Which is probably why it says uncut.
And probably why it didn't get a recut and a theatrical release. It shouldn't. Brandon, no. Don't do it. If they want it, let them take it as is. Yeah, I agree. I think it diminishes the quality. And I also think it takes away from the vision. I think I've said how I feel about theaters and their ratings and how things get called good for doing well in a theater when they suck, and things get called terrible when they don't do well in a theater, but they are amazing. This movie, if it was released in theaters and uncut, very few theaters would be able to pick it up, and its theatrical release would be almost nothing. And if you rated it based on what it got in the box office, it wouldn't have a very high dollar amount, but it wouldn't change the fact that the movie was amazing. It blew my mind. Like, it is so well done.
It's going to be a movie that a lot of people are talking about whenever.
I hate being like the broken record, redundant, saying the same thing over and over, but at the same time, I love it, because if I can't stop saying how well done a movie is, it's typically an amazing movie.
Yeah, I don't want to give a lot of this one away. Like, a lot of the movies we talk about, we spoil the fuck out of it. But this one, this is when you have to sit there and watch. Like, so much is going on at the same time where...
Yeah, I mean, like, every time she kills, like, her mom and her head explodes and fucking aliens come out of it and shit. I'm just kidding. None of that is in the movie. That's not part of the movie. Like, not even as a joke. I'm dead serious. None of that is in the movie. No, but yeah, I'm all for not spoiling any of it, because there are no twists in this movie. It's not a twist.
Well, there is.
There isn't. Not in the sense of, you pretty much know where you're going. It's...
No.
I mean, we could talk about what you found to be the twist afterwards, because I don't want to, you know, end up spoiling it.
Oh, just the end. Like, you don't know there is.
Yeah. I didn't take that as a twist, but I guess it could be considered the twist. But the end was... Man.
Right.
Dude. That's all I'll say about that. Yeah, it was... it ends
it was something.
As amazingly as the entire movie should have. It was as over the top as the entire movie is, while also being perfectly grounded.
And very subtle.
Super subtle. Dude.
And it's not a happy ending.
It really isn't. it's so not.
You are a terrible person.
But she totally has her butterfly still, so.
Yeah. She doesn't feel guilty
about it
anymore.
Did you notice?
Though.
So this doesn't really ruin anything in the movie. But at the beginning of the movie, when she's recounting her possessions, uh-huh. and she pulls out the butterfly, she says, "This is a butterfly I killed and mounted once when I was a little girl. And afterwards, uh-huh. I felt terribly." Uh-huh. And then at the end of the movie, when she does it, she doesn't say that she felt terribly. She just says, "This is a butterfly I killed and mounted when I was a little girl." Uh-huh. And then ends. Like, it doesn't cut off of her. Like, it doesn't go to black and go to credits. She just stops talking after she says that. And the lady says, "Very good." I was like, "Oh, shit. She don't feel bad no more." She's like, right? "Fuck that butterfly."
And she doesn't feel... Because the first time she says it, she goes, she feels guilty. And she still right. does. Like, she's...
Yeah.
Not no more.
It stayed with her. Man. Yeah, she purged that guilt, let me tell you. Do it. You've always wanted to.
Right. This movie was...
I you know what? 5 stars. I'm saying it.
Yeah.
This is the second movie of this year. Not the second movie that I've watched this year that I've given 5 stars, because I've watched movies that came out decades ago that are worthy of 5 stars. But this is the second production of 2020 that I am definitely going to give 5 stars to.
Oh, the second release of 2020.
Yes. Fair enough. Well said, because this was done last year, so technically it's a 2019 you know what's fucked up about that? The other movie that was released this year that I gave 5 stars to was also made in 2019.
Which one was that one?
Camp Coldbrook.
Ah.
And I only give that I gave that 5 stars for a lot of reasons. One, the writing of it is amazing. I loved it. Two, the cast was great. Daniel Harris, Chad Michael Murray, right? Yeah, it's Chad Michael Murray. Alex Carl wrote it. Amazing script. Loved it. And he's a great guy, too. Shout out to Alex. Alex... Alex Carl, Andy, I can't remember, Palmer, Andy Palmer, shout out to Andy, Andy Palmer directed it, wonderful, but it's a ghost story that doesn't do the typical jump scare shit to get you intense, and, you know, it's well driven and well written that builds that intensity. There's one or two jump scares in the movie, of course, but aside from that, the intensity builds and builds the entire time, and it's not based on jump scares to do it, whereas a lot of ghost stories like that, or the paranormal movies, you know, they go that route, which I really appreciated. Yeah, if you haven't seen Camp Coldbrook, watch that movie. But I'm guessing you've seen that movie, because I ranted about it forever, the entire year. I think not I actually got... not on the YouTubes. I haven't said it on the YouTubes. I blasted it on Twitter for months. I'm still talking about it on Twitter. One of the best productions of the year. Loved that movie. I will say it over and over again. I'll be saying it next year too. It's my favorite Valentine's movie from now on, only because it came out right on Valentine's Day. That's what I did for Valentine's Day. I sat by myself and I watched that movie.
I would get this one a 5 too. Really liked it. Yeah.
Hell's
People
yes.
Should see it. People should see it.
They, yeah, absolutely. I, man, if I could, I, you know what, we've never done a breakdown video before. We might have to come back, circle back to this, and I'll edit in some clips, and we can talk about, like, some of the sequences in the movie. If you would be up for that later on.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be a little bit down the road, starting, well, I don't know, maybe in a couple weeks or next week.
Yeah. Well, maybe not for this. Maybe if we decide to do...
Oh, no, I'd want to talk about some of the sequences in this movie.
Well, no, not... I meant, like, not on the YouTubes.
Oh, it'd have to be on the YouTube so I could actually put the scene in and we could talk
about it. Well, I was thinking maybe we could do, like, because once we start doing that, we'll probably start having to deal with the copyright stuff, even though we're saying how great it is. Probably should, like, put it up on, like, Patreon or something so it could be a...
No, because we can't monetize it. And Patreon, you get payment for that. That would be a copyright infringement thing. But on YouTube, all we have to do is credit the movie in the... I do it on my YouTube all the time because I use copyrighted music and shit. You have to detail the copyrights and give credit. And we, on the YouTube, select that we cannot monetize the movie. Uh-huh. Or not the movie, but the episode. And it's got a pretty... streamlined process for all that stuff, so we don't infringe on any copyright laws. And that's how a lot of people, if you watch video breakdowns and shit, that's how they get away with that, because you can't monetize the episode and you just have to clarify that and give the credit to everything in the information. What do you call it? The information, I guess, for the video. You know what I'm saying? Like, right underneath the title, you've got the info pamphlet right there where I type stuff for our YouTube videos.
If you would like to make it sound funny, hear us break down this or any movie, put it in the comments. Or if you want
definitely
us to... talk about a specific movie, put it in the comments.
Yeah,
I'll watch anything.
Definitely leave it in the comments.
Try to make it a little bit more exploitation, though. I dig exploitation flicks.
Yeah. There's a fine line of things that I will not watch. But it's not genre or type. It's pretty much, I don't know. It just comes to an interest thing. I try not to waste my own time, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes you end up wasting your time.
Well, then
anyway,
don't offer movies, because
you end up watching The Witches and... It's like,
don't tell us to watch movies because he won't watch them. That's fine too.
You can tell me to watch anything, and I'll. If somebody tells me to watch it, I'll watch it. I will watch it just to fucking appease the YouTube commentators. Also, everybody vapes in this movie. So
right?
Really,
they're the least douchey vapors that I've ever seen in my entire life. They even did that well in a movie.
I am very undouchey.
They handled that well in the movie, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, they handle everything well in this movie. It's really, it's on that level of artsy filmmaking without being an artsy film. It's just, it's great. It's so fucking great. I'm really surprised. I wasn't expecting that at all. Like that level of just, hi, I'm here. I'm the new bar for filmmaking.
Right. This movie comes and kicks you in the nuts.
Oh, my neck. Yeah, it's... It reaches its hand right up your scrotal sac and then pulls all your innards out. I was going to go so much further with that, and then I was like, dude...
Yeah, and you'll end up like the guy in the opening of Poltergeist.
We could do Poltergeist.
Man, I like that movie.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you have that shirt? Yeah. Weren't you wearing that the other day? I was laughing. I love that. Please see this movie.
See it.
Do yourselves and everybody else a favor. See this movie, talk about it. Rent it on Amazon. Buy it on Amazon. Do whatever you can to try and promote and support this movie, because it definitely deserves it. I'm going to fucking... I had to find out where my phone was. I'm going to talk about it. As soon as we're done with this, I'm going straight to the Twitter. I'm going straight to Slasher. I'm going everywhere. And I'm telling everybody, I might even open my Facebook again for the first time. And no, I'm not going to do that. I really enjoyed this movie more than I thought I was going to. I stopped watching another movie to watch this movie. And when I was doing that, I was like, fuck, man, this movie is good. The movie I was watching, not even close. I was enjoying that, but this was so worth stopping it. 45 minutes into that movie, I stopped to watch this, and it was so worth it.
Well, it's a very good movie.
Matter of fact, I was planning on finishing that other movie after we did this, and now I can't, because it's going to lessen whatever that movie does. Like, you can't compete. You can't. I wish that I would have gotten Brandon Cronenberg to make a movie for me before he had done anything, because now it's going to be impossible. You're going to have to pay this.
Seems
man
to be
so
only doing original works too, which is a good thing.
It is. That's very Tarantino of him, and super smart. It really is, because you cover every base. You write your own material. You know what you're going for. You have your vision, and you execute your own vision. And I feel like a lot of the best films come from doing that. I mean, obviously, there's great directors out there and great writers out there, and combinations of the two. But when you have somebody that can do both singularly and has a great editor, that is absolutely key to that process. And any filmmaker will tell you the exact same. You could have the best vision and you could execute everything perfectly, and if your editor isn't as good, you're just gonna have something that came out. it's not gonna be as wonderful as it could be. But if you can do both masterfully, and you do it more times than not, your work is going to be better than.
Yeah, I might jump on the letterbox in the morning and put a review. But I don't know how to, like. I mean, I'm probably just going to say, "Fucking great!" Like,
I'll probably just kick it to five stars and say, "Watch this movie." like master class in filmmaking. Suck it. No, I don't know what I would say about this movie. I might just detail that I don't want to give away any of the movie, and people need to watch it. It is an experience above just being something you watch. I think everyone should see it.
Would you like to tell the people where they can find you?
You can find me in St. Louis. No, I'm just kidding. I used to do that. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's played out. Where can they find me? You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/GFBird. G-E-E-F bird. And I love that I can hand motion to my own name. I like YouTube. You can find me on the Twitch. You can find me on the YouTube. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I don't do anything on TikTok. I have followers, and I don't know why. You can find me on Kick, Snapchat, anything. You can find me on all social media at GFBird, G-E-E-F bird. What about you?
Mostly everywhere. I'm mostly on the YouTubes now. This recording is going to be on Spotify once I do some editing. And you can listen to it there also. I mean, it's exactly the same thing other than you get to see us.
Yeah, you can see my prettiness and you can see him. Or you could just listen to us. I mean, if it works out better for you, you don't have time to watch the video, check us out on Anchor, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And you can listen to us while you sleep.
That's how I sleep, too.
That's how I sleep, too. great. I just fucking wish that hadn't been said.
That was our show.